moment by moment, I am under your care. How cool is that? It is cool. This morning, I'd like to share some truths from God's Word from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So because you have your Bibles, would you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 while you're getting there? I'll pray for us. Father, again, we thank you for this time where we focus on your word, and I pray that your word would speak to us, that it wouldn't be robbed, killed, or destroyed, but that we would walk in the truth that all power that we need is in you to get through this life. God, use this time effectively for recreating us into those people you created us to be. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you're at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm going to be reading from verse 4 to the end. These are really cool words that we should really get acquainted with. 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made the light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Verse 10. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that this life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, "I believe, therefore I have spoken." And since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Would you agree that the last couple of months, maybe even the year or two, has been incredibly challenging? Oh, yes. Good response. I mean, as you think about some of the images we've seen on the news and what's been taking place in our country and the world, it has been a difficult time. Yes? No doubt. For some, it's been overwhelming. Many, it may feel like things are spinning out of control. I mean, anxiety, fear, confusion, they seem to be seizing the day. Because, listen, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, which is the image of God. Just don't see it. We're reminded that there are so many issues of sin that have been plaguing our country for centuries, and it's still running wild. I don't know how all this has impacted you. Maybe you've grown frustrated with it all. Maybe you're in the midst of feeling angry. Maybe you have become calloused and think, why do we even have to keep talking about this? But this issue must be considered. It must be dealt with because they're not going away anytime soon. We are at a crossroad. And as people of God, what are we going to do? Prepare now before it happens is a great way to get through this life. How will we respond to what we're seeing, not only in the world we live, but what we're experiencing in our hearts? What will we do as we seek to follow what God says is right, good, and true? What are we going to do? I confess, this has been a struggle for me as these events play out. I've been frustrated as the power of fear seems to have taken hold of so many. I've been frustrated. I've been wrestling with feeling discouraged. I'm just being truthful. I find myself wanting to take action and do something. But if I'm honest, I'm not exactly sure what to do. Outside of pray that we would turn from our wicked way, that God would hear from heaven and heal our land, I mean, maybe you can relate. But what do we do? That's why we're here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. When the foundation of our lives feels as though it's been shaken, and we come way too painfully aware of the uncertainty of life and all that it holds. It is at that time that we need to be in God's Word and deepen our faith and rely on what this thing says. It is the Word of God that gives us hope in the midst of our struggle. There's people in Afghanistan that don't have a place to go. And if they don't have God's Word with them, they only have what's in their heart. That's the truth. Jesus loves me. Well, that would get me through, I guess. We need to hide God's Word in our heart. Recently, we've been looking at the Apostle Paul's life and what he was up against. And today we're going to be gleaning from the valuable information that he was giving to the churches in Corinth. If you remember, he was in the midst of personal pain and struggle as he put pen to paper or dictated what he was thinking. He's facing the reality on a daily basis that there are many people who don't like him, who disagree with him. They want to take him out. And I don't mean to lunch. There is hostility on every side of him, every moment of the day. So what is his focus that gets him through each day? Good answer. Thank you. Someone said God. Absolutely. Both the Jews and the Gentiles have heard Paul preach his gospel message. They know what he's proclaiming, and they're taking it as a threat because of the power it holds. So in the face of all these ongoing threats and constant uncertainty, what keeps Paul from becoming deflated? They won't hear my message. They won't believe. They won't come. He's not listening to those lies. What keeps him going forward? It would be so easy for him to live if he would just tone down his preaching and be quiet. Life would be good. Why didn't he just say, you know, for now I'm pulling back. Things aren't going too good now. There's too much hostility and danger lurking at every corner. My life is uncertain right now, so I'm just going to take a break, sit silent, and go into hiding. Why didn't he do that? Is this what we do? I'm not going to get uncomfortable. I'm not going to go preach Christ.
Well, outside of maybe here where it's, but in the world, come on now, I'm not going to say boo about Jesus. It's too uncomfortable. It's too threatening. How did Paul do it? And when you take the time to read Paul's letters, you see that the greater the threat, the more he courageously proclaimed the gospel. The more uncertain and difficult things became in his world, the more he stood on the foundation of his faith. How is your faith? Is it strong? Or is it on sinking sand? What are the people in Afghanistan going to do if they don't have a strong faith? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't know, maybe. He believed that God was working even in the midst, especially in the midst of his struggles. The more Paul was confronted with opposition in his life, the greater confidence he displayed of God's power working in and through his life. I saw that yesterday at my uncle's funeral. Clearly, if anybody left that sanctuary not knowing that my uncle was a man of God, they weren't there. They were tuned out. Look back with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 at verse 7. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not us. That's the truth of God's Word. I need Him every hour, every day, every moment. Do you? Or are you strong? I can do it. You can really do it if you got Jesus in your back pocket, front pocket, going before you. What we are reading here is incredibly important. Paul is saying the uncertainty, the struggles, the difficulty that he's facing right now has no threat at all whatsoever to the power of the gospel. Are you standing on the word of God, church? Paul's saying that life is fragile and that his weakness in this jar of clay, his body, this the jar of clay, serves to make it abundantly clear that the surpassing power of the gospel is not about his strength. It's about the power of what Jesus has already done. It's about the power of God at work in his life. Is God working in your life? Because I am so glad I can say I'm not the man I was a month ago. I'm so glad I can say I'm not the man I was 33 years ago. I'm a work in progress. We all are. Thank you. This is an important truth to hang on to when life seems uncertain or in times of struggle and pain. Even as our circumstances change and life seems to crumble around us, Paul is saying these things actually highlight the power of God. Thank you for the hard times, Jesus. He says it's not about my strength, what I'm seeking to do. It's all about what Jesus has already done. For Paul, this changes everything. This treasure of the gospel is what empowers him to keep going. So when life gets hard, and it will, maybe this week, what are you going to have to keep you going forward? God. Like-minded people. His Word. The ability to pray. Don't leave that stuff on the table. That's what gets us through the day. Are you going to your arsenal when life seems difficult? Because I'll tell you, sometimes I'm slow to respond. Well, I'll get with you, God, as soon as I get this handle down here. I'm good. upside down and backwards. Look at what he has come to understand, and he shares with us in verse 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. We're afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. How cool is that? I believe these two verses of Scripture, especially in the uncertainty and when we're facing difficulty, should be forefront in our minds to live a successful Christian life. This is who we are as followers of Christ. That's a description of me. That's why we played this song at the beginning. We need healing. And we need to cry out, God, heal me. I am so glad that 17, 18, 19 years ago, that song was in my heart. Because there were days when I couldn't walk. No doubt, we are afflicted in every way. But we will not be crushed. Explanation point. Sure, we're perplexed. We're confused, maybe overwhelmed, but we will not be driven to despair. People that end their life, what is that despair? No hope. How do we keep going? We have the hope of Christ living in us. I hope. There may come a day when we may be persecuted. That's the truth. And I'll tell you why. Because the world doesn't know or understand the way people of God respond to hostility, danger, and pain. God's Word says, we will not be forsaken. He will not leave us alone. The truth is, we may be struck down. But from what I read in this book, the Bible, we will not be destroyed. You can't touch me, world. And the world needs to know that. And we need to stand on that truth if we're going to be successful in this life. When the life we live tries to knock us down, church, we stand on the power of God. Yes, thank you. Our life is defined by the finished work of Christ. I love it. It's defined by the finished work of Christ on the cross. I'm going to drive the cross home this year. Because it's imperative that we stay focused on it. How is it possible for us, in the midst of such hostility and struggle, to have this confidence? Take your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and look at verse 10. I'm always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our bodies. Paul is saying, I won't be defined by pain and by struggling through this life. I'm defined by the power of the cross. I am defined by the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, my Savior, my Lord. Is that where you stand? It is the death of Christ that has freed us from the bondage of sin and death. Do you believe that, church? We are free. Live that way. Why do I carry so much stuff? Donna, I love it. Leave it here at the tent. God is raining down the cleansing. Whatever you're bringing, whatever you're holding on to, just let it go. Great instruction. the message of the gospel changes my perspective on the here and now. I stand victorious. Drop down to verse 16 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul says, so we don't lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. We do not lose heart because God is at work in the midst of our struggle. I left the parking lot, talked to my cousin I hadn't seen, or niece, hadn't seen for 10 years. And she said, sometimes God uses a bad thing to make good things happen. So we got this relationship rekindled. And we're going to do our best to make it strong. For many of us, the statement that Paul makes, though the outer self is wasting away, has become all too familiar to each one of us. How many of you know firsthand that that statement is true? This outer self is falling apart. Absolutely. Every hand should be up, but that's all right. You're Christians, you lie. I'm good with that. I realize if you're under 30, you may be like, James, what are you talking about? Because more than likely, you're feeling pretty good physically right now. But if you have crested the threshold of 40 years old and beyond, you would agree the outer self is wasting away, yes? I mean, I remember in my 30s people saying, oh, you just wait. Things are going to fall apart. And I'd be like, come on, people, how discouraging can you be? And I turned 40, and I was on my back, and to the point where I couldn't move. This outer self is wasting away. I continue to have back issues. Lord Jesus, heal me, take it away. But I'm okay for your timing, but I receive His healing. I'm already healed. I'm just waiting for the manifestation. I have been to more than one physical therapist. I do chiropractics and to try and make my core strong. I invest in deep tissue massage. No doubt I'm trying to do everything I can to make my back strong. It may help for some time. But can I be honest with you? This outer self is wasting away. Well, that's not important. What's important is, what about the soul? Your soul. What about your heart? Not the muscle. The core of your being. What about the spirit? Is your soul wasting away? Scripture says, your soul is being renewed day by day. Is your faith shriveling up, or are you growing day by day? I'm so glad I'm not the man I was even yesterday, because I learned so much from yesterday. I'm different today. Is your faith built on the circumstances of your life? You're probably wasting away in your faith. But if your faith is built on the unchanging power of God and the unchanging message of the gospel, that reminds us that life here is not all there is. Thank you, Jesus, there is so much more. If your faith is rooted and grounded in the finished work of Jesus, then even in the midst of what you face, your faith can be growing each day. The reality is, the storms of life will either crush our faith, or the storms of life will empower our faith. It all depends on our perspective. We can be, oh, woe is me. Or we can be, thank you, Jesus, help me in this time. That's what we see in 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 17 and 18. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So fix your eyes, not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Please don't miss this. Don't miss this. Our view of eternity will influence the view of our life today. Our perspective of eternity will determine how we make our way through the personal struggle and the difficulties we face each day. What are you focused on? What is your perspective of eternity? Do you see what the Bible is revealing? Do you hunger to know more? When you have a view of eternal things, what you're walking through right now, maybe today, can be seen as light and momentary in comparison to what eternity holds for us. I'm not seeking to minimize the pain that we feel or the difficulty of the struggle we may or may not be going through. The truth is, life is a struggle. Yes? Yes. Good. I'm glad I'm not the only one struggling. The world is broken. It is ravaged by sin. Our physical bodies are breaking down. But with an eternal perspective, we can see the things we endure in this life are just for a moment when you hold it up to eternity. It's an eternal blessing that Christ has given those who say, Lord Jesus, I want you in my life. I want to be in your life. So what's your perspective on eternal things?
I never thought about it.
Well, it's true. No mind can perceive or can think of what heaven will be like, so I understand that. But Paul is saying fixing your eyes on what is eternal, focusing on what God has already done, what God plans for His children, that's our focus. This life is just a moment, a vapor, in comparison to eternity. We have been given a promise of a home that will never fade away. A home that will never need repair, thank you, Jesus. A home that is solid and secure, free from pain, sin, and death. This is the eternal hope for those who are in Christ. This promise is our hope, it's our confidence, it's our security as we face the brokenness of life. The truth is, to make it successfully through the struggles that we endure, we need to redirect our focus. We need to recognize that life here is not all there is. We need to fix our eyes on the things that are eternal. This is what we're going to be looking at over the next couple of weeks. So plan to be here. And by all means, bring someone to hear the truth of God's Word. And get this, this is the coolest thing that I can share. You could be a part in changing their eternity. Yes. Father, I thank you that you give us our word, that if we do the time, we can learn from it and through it. And I pray that we would take this information and apply it to our lives. That you would continue to build the the church you would have us to be. God, I pray that we would burn brightly here in Burnville, that we would reflect you well, and that people would want what we have because it changes lives for eternity. God, continue to use us, and I give you the praise in advance for what you're going to do on this little hill. In Jesus' name, amen.